Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience.
You are loved with an everlasting love. This is God's word to us. He loves us, and underneath are His everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. Absolutely delighted today to have my friend Arlita Winston here with me. Welcome, Arlita.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Some of you who have been listening for several years remember that Arlita has been on before. She is the mother of 5 adult children and how many grandchildren?
16.
16 mm-hmm. grandchildren. She speaks from very interesting and wonderful experiences. Her parents were missionaries. She and her husband have been missionaries. And not very long ago, you sent me a sort of a summary of a little talk that you had given to a group of women in New York. Is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes.
And I just loved it, and I thought I would really love to have the Gateway to Joy people hear your story, Arlita. So thank you for coming, and please tell us.
Well, I was speaking on this subject, this vast subject, the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. And I had pondered this question for many years. My own parents were missionaries, had gone when I was only 6 months old to the foreign field, down to the jungles of Sumatra to find the Kubu people who just one generation before that had been headhunters and cannibals. But now here I was, here in America, married to a physician with a large family, and I wasn't on the foreign mission field. And so I'd often pondered that question, how do you make disciples? How do you become a missionary without going thousands and thousands of miles away? How could I be a missionary right here? And so as I pondered this question over the years, the Lord has spoken to my heart, and specifically through the book of John, chapter 15, when He said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." And I thought, that means me. That doesn't mean just my parents. That means me. He has chosen me to bear fruit. And then I thought again of His saying that He would build His church. He didn't tell us to build the church. He said, "You go and make disciples and I will build my church." So I began thinking, what does it mean to make disciples? Here I am a mother. How do I go and make disciples? And so this began a chain of thinking in my heart as to how I could answer this call from the Lord specifically to me. My mother's mother was named Sadie. And when mother was very young, her mother Sadie became very, very ill. She had always wanted to go to India as a missionary, but because of her illness, they had to stay here in America. She gave birth to my Aunt Jean. And during that time, they were having very special meetings at their church. And one evening, she gathered up that newborn infant in her arms and after the service, carried the baby down to the altar. And my two great aunties tell the story of how they watched her silently place baby Jean on the altar and kneeling gave her to the Lord to go to India in her place because she would not ever be able to go because of her illness. Now, the aunties said that the occasion had been so incredibly holy that no one ever spoke of it for years. And it wasn't until 25 years later that even Jean knew that she had been offered as a baby to go to India. And it wasn't until she was booked on a ship to take her passage to India as a missionary that her great aunties told her of what her mother had done before she had died.
What an incredible story.
Traveling with Aunt Jean on that same ship were her brother Hubert and his wife Helen and his family, and her big sister Helen, and that was my mother and daddy, my sister who was 2 1/2, and myself. I was only 6 months old. We would sail just as far as Japan with her, and then she would board another ship to India, and we would sail to the jungles of Sumatra in the Dutch East Indies. With one long blast of the steamship whistle, the ship pushed away, and Grandma and Grandpa stood down there on the dock, and we could see them. Mother tells me, I don't remember seeing this, but Mother says they could just see them shouting, "Hallelujah!" They were sending off 3 of their children off to the wilds with their grandchildren, not knowing if they would ever see them again.
Back in those days when missionaries left, it was for life, wasn't
mm-hmm,
it?
And that's right.
They weren't thinking about coming home for Christmas or making a flight for a weekend.
Not at all. And no one asked the 5 children whether we wanted to go and live with the headhunters. That question was never posed to us. And I was thinking, too, of how Daddy first decided to go out to the headhunters. He had been in the library reading about this tribe called the Kubus, who were Aborigines. And as he pored over the pictures that National Geographic had just taken of these tribes, he read all about it and was just drawn into their whole story. And that night, as he went to bed, he fell asleep, and then he was wakened in the night, and he felt that he just heard the heart cry of God. Not the heart cry of these people to know God, but the heart cry of God himself saying, "Let my people go, that they may serve me. Let them go out of the darkness of their animism, out of their worshiping of the animals and the trees and Satan himself. Let my people go, that they may worship me." And Dad was so startled in the night with this cry that he heard from God's heart that he wakened Mother. And he told Mother what he was feeling. And Mother said, "Daddy, let's go. Let's go to the tribes and tell them the good news of Jesus." And so this is the result. They had boarded this ship headed for Sumatra to go and tell them the good news that would set them free from their worshiping of Satan.
And when missionaries go out, it is by faith, isn't it? They certainly don't know what's in store for them. When Jesus said to his disciples, "If you want to be my disciple, you must give up your right to yourself and take up the cross and follow me," clearly explaining in advance that it was going to mean sacrifice of themselves, it was going to mean suffering, and the following, we know, leads to joy. Did your parents encounter any suffering?
Well, very soon after we got there, Daddy had been out on a 6-week trek into the deep jungles looking for some of the tribes. And he was very excited to get home. And he met Mother at the door, and alarm was just written all over her face. And 4-year-old Andrea, my older sister, had been taken with a dread tropical fever while he had been gone and was having convulsions. And Daddy rushed into her room just while she was having another convulsion. Mother was doing everything she could to bring down the fever. Daddy left her, went into another room, and fell on his knees before God and just cried out and said, "Oh, God, please help us. Have someone back home pray for us. Please spare us and touch Andrea." And while he cried out to his heavenly Father, the Lord began to speak to him. He said, "David, you're always anxious to have other people interested in your children. You've always asked me to do things for them, even before they were born, like giving them an excellent spirit. And you've forgotten that I am a father, too, and I have many, many children. I love them more than you can possibly love your children. And many of them are suffering, suffering much more than your little daughter, Andrea, and they are crying. I seldom hear you praying for my children." Daddy quickly went into Andrea's room and asked Mother to come and pray with him. And he shared with her what God had been speaking to him about. And they pulled the mosquito netting about Andrea's bed, and then went back into the little room where he had knelt to pray. The sun was just beginning to set as they began praying around the world for friends they knew in Holland, in China, in Europe, in the States. And remember, the war was just now happening. They interceded for God's children through the night, and as the sun was rising, they realized that they had prayed the whole night through and not once mentioned little Andrea, wondering if she had died in the night. And they ran to her room, pulled back the mosquito netting, and there she lay sound asleep, quiet, and the fever had passed.
What a wonderful story, and you've got lots more to tell us during this week, Arlita. Thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.